This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello, Margaret here, popping up before the show with a bit of news. We've set up a Substack for the show. We've got some exciting plans for the year, including some live shows in London and elsewhere. So if you think you might like to come to one, hop on Substack and follow us. It's all free and there'll be some fun extra content there, including the Crushed leaderboard, where we track how compatible our guests and their crushes really are with science. Now, the show. Hello and welcome to Crushed by Margaret K. Bourne-Smith, a podcast about the collages and calamities of unrequited love. My guest today is multi-talented stand-up actress, singer, podcaster and Twitter legend, Suze Kempner. Suze,
hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Do you still get crushes now?
Yeah, I did. I thought I didn't anymore, and it turns out I still can.
You say you can. That means like you've been, feels like you've been trying.
Yeah, yeah. I had the breakup with big capital THE like nearly 10 years ago, and it just sort of broke my brain, and I went, well, that's it now. I can't make myself fancy anyone because what's the point? It's all too awful. And then I got a big crush on someone.
Oh, wow. And was it a real life person?
I knew them from Twitter.
Oh, my God. So you had a crush on them through the screen. Can you tell us who it is?
A Canadian comedian who's not famous.
I mean, that's always good. The less famous they are, the better. The more chance you stand.
That's it. Yeah, it worked.
It worked. Oh, my God. And now you're with him.
Yeah. So we started, at the beginning of lockdown, did my podcast because I was like, you should come on my podcast.
Come on my podcast.
Yeah. After messaging every day for nearly a year, in August this year, he flew to the Fringe to meet me. And now we're going out with each other.
Oh, my God. Suze, I have to say, I don't think you've got the spirit of this podcast at all. This is not supposed to work this well. Are all of your stories going to be, I fancied someone and then I got together with them?
Once every 10 years, I fancied someone and it worked out.
Okay, well, let's go back to worse times, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Worse. What was your first crush?
Oh, my first crush was when I was four, and it was Top Cat.
Oh yes, good choice. Very alpha.
Yeah, and anti-establishment, which goes with my that's like a real theme.
I really like the idea that Top Cat made you anti-establishment. That's how it works. The crush comes first and then the political belief.
Yeah, Top Cat was like ACAB, yeah.
And what was it, apart from the anti-establishment stuff, what was it you liked about him?
I think as a four-year-old, there is no sharper comic mind than Top Cat.
I like the idea that as a four-year-old, you would be using the phrase sharper comic mind.
Mother, he has a sharp comic mind, this cat, this homeless cat.
I'm sort of assuming it wasn't sexual at that point. Was it just a kind of general passion for him?
I think I just thought he was amazing because then my next crush when I was five was Bruce Forsyth. And I was like kind of obsessed with the Generation Game.
What was it about him? I mean,
oh well, I'd get my mum to tape the Generation Game because then I'd watch it through the week. And I think what it was, I think I was like overawed by all the showbiz of it, and I think I was taking that on board. Like, oh my God, the showbiz of Brucey.
Oh wow! So we're really piecing together your personality here. by your crushes. Yeah. Did you have like an annual crush that would be the next piece of the Susie Kempner jigsaw?
I think there's a bit of that, definitely. It was like when I was in my early teens, so, well, sort of 12, 13, 14, I used to watch Frasier, and I got a really big crush on David Hyde Pierce, who played Niles.
Oh,
who
good choice.
Was like super non-threatening.
Yeah.
Very non-threatening, but like I think I was like, oh, he's very dry and witty, and he was amazing at playing the piano, because in real life, David Hyde Pierce was like concert-level pianist. So they'd often throw in like, look, Niles is playing the piano now, and he's amazing. And I think it was that again, like, oh, the talent and the showmanship.
Oh, my God.
And because the performance is incredible.
Totally. The Valentine's episode where he sets fire to himself and, you know, and keeps fainting when he looks at the blood. It's incredible. That is like watching a concert pianist, I think.
What a ballsy thing they did. They do a 10-minute, essentially silent film with David Hyde Pierce, and he carries it all himself, and it's like he's like Buster Keaton. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is incredible. He's pretty, oh, how can I put this, fragile. Was that appealing to young suits?
He's a frail little guy. I remember there was one episode, I guess like 13, and there was one episode where he's, I think every character's getting a massage and he's got his shirt off, and I didn't like it.
Oh my God, that's such a classic 13-year-old crush thing, isn't it? Where it's just look like you have a total passion for someone. And then...
I was literally like, no.
Put it back on. So what was it about David Hyde Pierce that you were imagining? So you didn't want to see his chest. I presume not only his chest. I don't think you want to see any bare bits of David Hyde Pierce at all. I mean, he's a very covered man. He should absolutely be.
I liked everything his character did that was like romantic, and I loved, like, I was at the time like crazy in love secretly with my best friend at school, and he was madly in love with Daphne, and it was, his love was I found, like, and that's again the beauty of his performance, because on paper, like, what he's doing is harassy.
Yeah, really grim, really pervy stalker. But you're right, the way he does it, it's just very sort of moving.
Yeah,
almost.
it's really very
very sweet.
Yeah,
and so, but you think you were more wanting to be him?
I think I just like really empathized, which is why when they got together, and I think I did one season where they were together, and then just kind of stopped watching Frasier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was so invested in the Daphne Niles, will they, won't they? And then when she found out that Niles has been in love with her for years, I remember just being like, oh, I can't believe this. Now, and I thought, oh, look, she actually has reacted really well to it. So I had like dreams of my crush finding out. And like when he did, it was just awful.
Yeah, tell me what happened there. I'm clearly going to ask.
We never actually had a conversation about it. There's like two 14-year-olds.
I mean, barely conversing about anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were best friends, so we hung out all the time. But I told other friends, and they were like, oh, right. And then they were like, oh, he doesn't feel about you this way, and he finds it really awkward.
Oh, no. Oh, God, so did he... So he knew that you knew they'd...
Oh my God. He eventually found out, but we never talked about it. And I was like, oh, we'll definitely keep it that way. If he doesn't find me remotely attractive, we'll just keep it that way.
And but did he stay friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get through it? Did you get through the crush and the?
I didn't in an adult sense, but in a 14-year-old sense, I was like completely in love with him, and it was all totally pure. And I never had like. Things where I was like, oh, I want to have sex with him. I didn't even really get as far as thinking about kissing him, because I was, all I had in my head was like, he would hate that.
Oh, wow.
And that really shaped things
for
me.
Oh, my God. Why were you thinking he'd hate it?
Well, because he told everyone that he would.
Oh, what? So you kept your love in a kind of pure...
Yeah,
and
yeah.
By the way, I think 14-year-old love is in a way much more pure than grown-up love, which has got, you know, it's all infested with other dreams and compromise and adult stuff. There's something amazing about that first love.
That's it. I think like when you're an adult, it's like got 10 tons of baggage on it. You're dating, when you date someone, they're also dating your past. Whereas when you're 14, it's just like Top Cat, Bruce Forsyth, Niles from Frasier.
And then this boy.
My best friend. And when we went to different sick forms, because my school didn't have a sick form. So when I left school, I kind of look back on it and go, oh, that's really sad. I was 15 going, oh, thank goodness I don't have to see him every day. And I look at that now and go, oh, that's really sad.
It is sad.
That I was, yeah.
Also, I think just so understandable. I think that's that's what we all, like, was that what got you over him? Just absence?
Yeah, yeah. I just was like, oh, it's done. Oh, that's good. It's done now. And also, my only reference was unrequited love at that point. So I didn't know that it gets worse.
Don't say that. It worked out for Niles and Daphne.
It did. Good for them.
In all seriousness, do you think there was something about the drama of it not working out that appealed to you?
I look back on it now because it's over 20 years ago, and I think when I first fancied him, I was just like, oh, well, we love hanging out together, and so he'll obviously feel the same. But I still never voiced it to him because, like, I was bullied at school, and the bullying was like how ugly I was. So I was like, oh, he has to overlook all that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I was kind of obsessed with, I'm obsessed with getting together with the first person who ever liked me, because I was like, if they've seen past all of this other stuff and they've managed to love me despite this, then I'm gonna have to really lock that down.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of.
I mean, that's obviously horrendous to hear, and I wonder if because you knew that he loved you as a friend. You know, that he was like, he had that, you know, he knew you. You were close to him. But did that make it sort of worse?
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is very much what my history as well. It's like, oh, wow. Even this person who I have made love me still doesn't find me attractive. Then I'm
Yeah. Sure. You make them laugh loads and they find you interesting enough to hang out with all the time. But zoom, there's a hot girl and she said something a little bit sexy. And I get disproportionately like, oh, God, oh, no, about women like that, which is terrible. It makes you start I remember I had housemates at uni in my first year. So I'm 18. And I didn't fancy any of them, but we all would have fun. But they were like obsessed with, oh, Lucy Pinder. And I got like a real thing about Lucy Pinder, which is ridiculous. We now follow each other on Twitter. She's great. She's a big socialist. She's an absolute legend. And at university, I was just like, no, she would, any man, she would take
me from
me. Oh, my God. Like, I wasn't interested in my uni housemates.
No, it's so, oh God, I'm now having horrible flashbacks to similar things where Josie Lawrence, who is a legend and amazing, but I hated that she got to hang out with those boys so much that I was a bit like, you know, and she's beautiful and, you know, so I was, but I had a real like, my friend and I would sit there going, Josie Lawrence, okay, really overlooking the fact that she was incredible and just incredible in every single episode she did. She was amazing. But I would, you know, we actually sort of egged each other on a bit, I think, to, and it's also neither of us were going to go out with Tony Slattery. Let's be clear about that. but the idea that she was close to them and we weren't, it felt like we were allowed to hate her.
Right? That's
and
society,
now I'm like, oh,
it?
It's society. Society. It's so society. Yeah. Years later, I'm like, oh my God, I love every single woman who does what I do. I mean, you know, they're automatically, I assume that they will be my best friend. But then it was like, right, somebody's on my turf. And especially if, as like, you know, same as you, I had a thing about my looks and sort of go, oh, well, she's beautiful as well, so that's me screwed. You know, I was supposed to be, that was supposed to be my thing, being funny.
Yeah,
so if she's funny and beautiful, then let's claw her eyes out, shall we?
I had a thing about, because I'd have been 14 in that, you know, like the summer of 99, when like 10,000 teen movies came out, or like the formative teen movies, like American Pie, She's All That. I'm trying to think of others. I mean, like, there's tons. And the female leads in them were funny because they were rom-coms. And I used to sit in the cinema and just feel sad because I'd go, oh, but they're... I would never be a lead in a rom-com. I wanted to be a performer. And I said, oh, I will never play a lead in a rom-com because they're funny and pretty. And I do still feel like that, but I don't care as much.
Yeah, it's weird, actually, because I look at those films and I mean, I was thinking about Steve Buscemi and thinking how there just isn't a female equivalent of Steve Buscemi, because that level of weird looking is not allowed. And it means that...
It's not acceptable.
No, yeah, it's just... but it also means we just never get to see even ordinary looking women on the screen, you know, especially in rom-coms.
Yes, I saw... God, it's really depressed me. It was on a podcast I heard recently, and they were talking about Fatal Attraction. And one of the guys on the podcast was like, ha, ha, ha. We're supposed to believe Michael Douglas is really into Glenn Close. Like, excuse me, mate. She's unbelievably hot.
You would not be able to get anywhere near her.
Right? How this is it.
Dare
and
you.
It's like the first time it occurred to me, like, really, is Glenn Close... Do men not think Glenn Close is incredibly beautiful? But that took me right back to school with guys going... they'd go like, oh, that woman is disgusting, about some woman that was really striking. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, it got to me. I remember about 10 years ago, some guy going, oh, I've... it's because I love Wicked, and they went, oh, I wanted to see what that Idina Menzel looked like without the green makeup, and I was very disappointed. I was like, excuse me?
Oh my God. But again, I think that's because that we're so used to a very, very narrow version of beauty, that anything outside of that, I like to think that in reality it's not quite the same, but certainly on
these
screen
people would
it's
beg
like
Glenn Close for sex if they met her.
Even now, when she's in her 70s or whatever, it's like,
she looks fantastic.
Yeah, constantly. So did he, how to put this, were you aware of who he did fancy? Like, were there people in your friendship group that he did want to get off with? And
this is another reason why I was like, get me out of this school. Right towards the end of school, he started dating someone who was his first girlfriend, who he ended up being with for like 10 years, I think. I think they were together for years and years, and she was tiny nosed, giggly blonde, and genuinely kind of an asshole. Like, this at the time I was like, I can't stand her, and I felt so sad and I couldn't stand her. And years later, met her and was like, oh, she's awful, she really was dreadful.
but listen if she's so dreadful, is like the blondness and the giggliness getting him through a decade, or is he a bit of an asshole?
I think we are very different. Like, when
it's a lot of an
asshole. We're not actually friends anymore. Like, so we would reconnect and hang out, and then he would get a girlfriend and disappear. And I never was like crazy about him again like that. But when I was about 21, we started hanging out a lot again, and. At the time, I had a boyfriend. I got a boyfriend at 18 who I was with for nearly 10 years. And I thought, I was like, what's going on with me? I don't want him anymore. But the same thing came back when he just looked the other way, girlfriend, don't need to speak to Suze anymore. And it was the same like punch in the chest, even though I didn't actually want him.
What I think that is, this is my pop psychology now, is actually just being really in touch with your younger self, which I think is really good and healthy, but it can be weirdly painful. I recently was in touch with a guy that I had a massive crush on at drama school, and I thought, oh, I know, right. I do this podcast. I'm gonna tell him. I never told him at the time because I knew that he didn't fancy me. I knew I didn't have a chance. I thought I'll tell him, you know. And he didn't have a clue. And he sort of said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a bit thick like that. And then he said he said something like, oh, this isn't the first time this has happened to me. He was like perfectly lovely about it. But immediately afterwards, and sort of for the rest of the day, I felt like shit. I felt like I could almost convince myself that it was a part of my story sort of thing. Oh, God, imagine, you know, getting together with a person you had a big crush on or whatever. And you sort of think, I know, I don't want any of that. I'm really, it would cause a lot of trouble if I was to fall back in love with him, and I'm really, really not. But I was sort of ashamed of the fact that it hurt. And then, you know, not long afterwards, I was like, oh, that's all gone. I think there must have been part of me that hoped he, and I knew he wasn't, but that hoped he was going to say, if I'd have known at the time, maybe we'd have worked. And he didn't. And it would have been a lie, you know.
Right. He should have lied.
Yeah, I think he was a bit blindsided. He was trying to park a car at the time. he was telling me he listens to this as well. So, hi, Owen. Sorry.
Owen Jones.
Yeah, I went to drama school with Owen Jones. No, I didn't. But no, it was. But I let myself, you know, I forgave myself for that because I thought this is just about being in touch with your younger self and with all of those feelings. And we're passionate people, Suze. We're creative people. This is all healthy, I think.
That's it. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and often there's that thing, isn't there, where you're like, well, I could put I don't think this is true either, but we believe I could put a lid on absolutely everything and achieve closure on that thing if I had the option of saying no, actually. And then it's like, you know, a metal door comes down, bang, and that thing is now locked away forever in a nice way. And that doesn't exist. I don't think closure truly exists.
And in terms of celebrity crushes, have there been anyone since Bruce Forsyth? And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a bad day. You know, when, you know, he's ancient history, but when he passed, the feelings were still.
No, go on. How serious are you when you say that? Did you have any twinge?
No, not a thing.
You see, you can recover.
There you go. You did get closure. He was very. He'd lived a very long time, and I always have. That
I mean,
thing.
So long.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know him, and when someone dies that old after living such a life, you go, oh well, good for them. I guess they kind of won.
Yeah.
They won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, they're sad for their family, obviously. But
I got very close to him once, only literally, but it
we
was
lovers.
We were so not lovers. But he, his face was sort of like a cliff face.
Oh, really?
You know, it's so old that it had almost become petrified. Is
He's
what I'm
more
saying.
Crag
I can
than
say
man.
This now. That's an amazing sci-fi show. More crag than man. Brilliant. So, yeah, sorry, post-Bruce.
Well, David Hyde Pierce.
And David Hyde Pierce.
I guess I got my first, like, sexy crush with Damon Albarn.
Okay, so what stage is this? This is post-David Hyde Pierce?
Yeah. I think I was 15 and we got Sky in the year 2000, so... I remember there was some offer on Sky and my dad went for it. And it was one of those things where it's like, oh, this is what rich families do. They get Sky. And I thought, we must be super rich. And it's like, no. He just decided to get Sky and it's really expensive. But it had music channels. And I can remember, like, this is years after the song came out, because I think it's from 95. But the video for the Universal was on one of the music channels I was watching. Oh. And I was like, I knew that song anyway, but I went, oh, I fancy that guy. And it's Damon Albarn in that video. Is like
dystopian.
Yeah, he's like done up like Clockwork Orange with, you know, one eye with eyeliner.
Oh my God, and, you fancy
Alex
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I did. I saw that and was like, yes, please. And that was the first time I had a crush that wasn't just like, they're so funny and they're so talented. I was just like, I want that guy to look at me that way. But he's looking like a psychopath and I think I liked it.
Yeah, did that inform your tastes in any way, the psychopath element?
I guess, unfortunately.
No. Because, yeah, I mean, Damon Albarn is generally very, like, you know, vanilla cute.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So it's interesting that you chose that, but mm-hmm. you chose him at his creepiest.
It was then that, and Lenny Kravitz had brought out that song, I Want to Get Away, Want to Fly Away. And I remember the video for that would come on and I'd go, oh, he's nice. It was that music channel. It was like guys in music videos being a little bit weird and bad. I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. But again, that's sort of a bit removed as well. Like, you know, they're performing and it's a kind of disguise. Yes. And so I don't know, like, did you want to see their chests when they were being massaged?
I don't think I wanted to see Damon Albarn's chest, because maybe in my head I knew it wouldn't be an impressive.
Bit pasty.
Yeah, I thought we might be getting into David Hyde Pierce territory now if the shirt comes off. Lenny Kravitz, though, he can.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, everyone wants to see his chest all the time.
But again, generically handsome.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say he's...
I mean, Lenny Kravitz is distinctive, but he's also like a beautiful
Yeah,
man.
But actually, I think the interesting thing there is that he is... That's sexy, Lenny Kravitz. Like, he is selling sex. It's not just cute
yes.
or dystopia. It's sex.
That's it, yes.
So were you imagining sleeping? Like, how much of a fantasy relationship did you have with them? Was it pure sex?
This is going to sound so weird. I didn't have sexual fantasies. Like, I just didn't, because I never even thought about when I have sex, ever. Like, because it just didn't occur to me that I would.
That you were going to.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then I got, I don't even remember getting a crush on him, but it was someone in my friendship group at sick form. And then at a party, like a house party, which were happening most weekends when we were teenagers. So I was 16, he had just turned 18. And we just started kissing at a party. I was like, and then we were just going out with each other. And he was sort of 2 months into the relationship, just started being horrible, and then was for a year.
Oh my God.
And it took me a really long time to realise, like, I didn't actually like this person. I was 16 and I'm about to turn 38. So it's nearly 20 years since we broke up, because he broke up with me the day before my 18th birthday properly.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Welcome to adulthood.
Well, no, it sounds like he was doing you a favour.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest,
but that's weird. So so it didn't begin with a crush. That just happened, and then you were like, oh, I seem to have to go out with this person.
Yeah, then I was like, oh, I'm about to turn 17. It's good to finally have my first boyfriend. Ah, I knew I could do it. It was that thing. I don't remember ever finding him hot, because he really wasn't. And he was just horrible in it, and I don't think he found me attractive. I think he wanted another girl in the friendship group and would, like, seethe about her. And I would, like, cling on, like, make sure he doesn't leave me. It's like, you're much, much better off without this person.
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Did you have crushes on other people while you were with him, while you were sort of attached?
No.
And is that because...
No.
You somehow felt you weren't allowed, or are you just very monogamous?
I've just... Yeah, I think I am very monogamous. I've never considered cheating. And it just doesn't... I'm not a very crushy person. I'm actually really wary about getting them because I, like, for years and years, I associated a crush with feeling bad. So, like, just don't have them.
Reject yourself first.
Sorry, if it's a celebrity, you're like, whoa, look at him. Well, I guess, yeah, I think I was, yeah, I think I was doing that. I went out with a guy, I went to uni, and started going out with another guy from our friendship group who was from, who had gone, been at sick form, and then we'd been in the same friendship group, and then we were at the same uni, and we started going out on the second day of uni, and then we're together for 9.5 years.
Wow.
And it, like, throughout the relationship, he was very passive, and like, he seemed like someone who really went with the flow, but actually, like, everything was on his terms. And he would actively say, "Don't ever tell me you love me, because I'll never say it back."
Oh my God.
I just went, yeah, that's fine.
My first boyfriend, I might have mentioned this before, but my first boyfriend said, when I said, "Why don't you ever say you love me?" And he said, "I don't like repeating myself." So he was like, he'd said it once. It's always like, "Well, if anything changes, I'll let you know."
Unbelievable.
Like, oh, that's not how that works.
Yeah. Wow. How romantic.
Yeah, quite. Oh, that's really interesting that you, and I get it, but you associate crushes with pain. Do you not have just random, you know, Damon Albarn fantasies these days that you know are just safe over there?
Oh yeah,
you know,
like if they're hot celebrities,
yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, but I don't go like deep and meaningful deep meaningful feelings for, "Oh, he's nice on that television show."
Yeah,
like I like Glenn Howerton on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah.
Who plays Dennis, and then I realised, like, no, it's Dennis. I saw Glenn Howerton in an interview.
Well,
I was like, oh, that's nice.
That's,
he's
fine,
nice to his wife, and he's sweet with his friends. And I was like, be a psycho.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. However, if I met a Dennis in a bar, I now know, this is growth, I know that I would, like, leave the bar to avoid them.
Oh my God. What, because he's nice to his wife? No.
No, if I met actual Dennis. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's like, good. Bleh. So we're all learning.
This relationship that I'm in now, transatlantic, it's the first time I've ever had a crush on anyone that hasn't made me feel bad. Like, it just never made me feel bad.
Oh, this is such a lovely redemption story for the podcast.
I guess it is, yeah. So, and it was nice. This thing, I my friend went, I bet the nicer he is, the more you run away. I was like, no, the nicer he is, the more I like him.
This is brilliant. I do remember saying to my husband once, "Thank you for being so nice to me." And he just went, "I'm just a normal amount of nice to you." And you do think, oh God.
This guy says this to me. Yeah, I go, "God, you're so..." I'll go, "Thanks for wishing me luck before my show." And he goes, "Yeah, yes, of course." But I just haven't had
it. Oh my God, well, I'm so happy for you. It sounds like you've had a really, really rough time. That is shit, I'm sorry.
Yes, and I've really, like, genuinely really... And honestly, I would do it again if this guy, for whatever reason, goes like, "I don't want to go out with you anymore." I will immediately go, "That was because of me." And if I'd been 3 inches taller and my nose had been 3 millimetres that way, I will do that. But he's given me
No. No, well, hopefully that won't ever happen. I feel like this podcast has not been enough therapy for you, to be honest. I don't know if you know about the maths. I don't know if this, the LOVES crush maths.
Oh, okay.
Do you know about this?
Is this where you write your names?
Yeah, you write your names together.
I can't remember what the rules were because I did this. I remember doing this at school with my big crush.
Yes.
And the score being terrible and I kept doing it. Same score.
Oh, yeah, you
every
keep
time.
Trying with, well, no, you can do middle names. You can try. And
I must have done that. Yeah, yeah.
It's L's, O's, V's, E's and S's. I feel like when I say to you your biggest crush, who are we talking?
My biggest crush.
I mean, we can
of...
go Top Cat if... well, I suppose when I say who's your biggest crush been ever?
Let's say David Hyde Pierce.
Mm. Let's say. Although I have to
I
say
did
it
write
sounds a little
him.
Bit like it. Did you?
Yeah, I wrote to him and just said, you're absolutely brilliant in Frasier. And wow, can't believe it. All those skills as a pianist, and yet you're also such a funny, brilliant actor. And he sent me back a signed photograph, but he said, my name's Susanna, and he wrote Suzanne.
Oh.
And I was like, he doesn't care about me.
But yeah, that probably slightly cures you of your crush, or the sort of the belief that you're going to become pen pals. I don't know, which is always
yeah,
there.
There you go. Yeah, he's never right.
Okay, so we're doing David, Susanna Kempner. I'm doing Susanna rather than Sue, so you don't get those extra
exciting.
O's, though, I'm afraid. Zero L's, no O's.
Oh, my God.
No V's. Oh, my God. five E's and one S. That Ooh. Is...
Is that
How's
terrible?
That? Well, I don't even know how to do it. Not, not, five, six... Not 5, 11, 6. Oh no, it's pretty good.
Is that good? Has it smashed it?
No. Oh no, it's really bad.
No.
I think this is the problem, is that you just don't have. It is 29. But listen, for right. many reasons, I think you shouldn't be with David Hyde Pierce.
Oh,
you know.
God. Do you think it's a Hollywood
he
thing?
He is. Yeah, mainly just the Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't really look... I know this is silly to say, but he doesn't look like Niles anymore.
I know.
Either.
And he's not going to do the
reboot
of Frasier.
I know.
Like, none
I
of them
are. I
think
he might be right.
It's like the dad and both of the dogs are dead. Niles ain't doing it. I don't think anyone likes yeah. Kelsey Grammer.
No, I've heard some
yeah,
things.
It sounds like horrible. It's like I saw the Friends reunion. And I was like, God, these six people, it was alchemy. Like, they all loved each other so much and obviously shared something very special for the 10 years they were doing that show. And with Frasier, I'm just like, wow, those people loved each other so much and shared something so special for the 10 years that they were doing the show, apart from Kelsey Grammer.
Thank you very much, Suze Kempner.
Thank you.
I mean, there was a lot of Frasier talking.
You've been listening to Crushed by Margaret Caborn-Smith, hosted by Margaret Caborn-Smith and produced by Victoria Lloyd and Lindsay Fenner for Mighty Bunny Productions. If you can bear it, please like, subscribe, rate and give us a nice review, as it helps me feel better about my life choices.